Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. There was an article in the newspaper on Sunday titled, COVID Guilt Ignites a Boost in Toy Sales. Maybe you saw it. Apparently, Americans are spending more on toys this year than maybe in any other year in the past. Because, quote, after a terrible year of remote school, canceled birthday parties, and little vacationing, parents and grandparents, ridden with so-called COVID guilt, are spending a lot more on puzzles, crafts, and games. End quote. According to a poll that was referenced in that article, nearly a third of people with children say that they feel guilty heading into the holidays after lacking social time with family and friends. And one toy executive quoted in the piece said, "Toys are a way for parents to treat their kids when they are so worried about what is going on in the world." It's not quite clear whether this executive thought that it was the kids or the parents who were so worried. Now, there are some very interesting things that we can learn from this article, and not just about the state of the toy industry in 2020. This article gives us some insight into how most people understand guilt, not as an objective state, as determined by the Most Holy God according to His perfect law, but rather as a subjective feeling that comes from missed opportunities or unfulfilled desires. This article also teaches a bit about fear and anxiety, that most people are anxious and worried about the unknowable and the uncontrollable. But above all, I think that this article, which was in the newspaper, illustrates how most people understand the concept of a gift, of giving. Why are we spending more than maybe ever before on toys and trinkets for our children? Because we feel guilty. And so we think that the more we give, the more that guilt will be alleviated. And furthermore, we are giving because we, or maybe our children, or both, we are worried. And we think that the right gift, maybe at the right price, will help to set the world aright and calm our anxieties. You see, in other words, most people, it seems, are giving gifts this year, not just for their children's sake, to treat them to the toys that they've been wanting, put a smile on their faces after a difficult year. No, it seems that many people are giving with a bit of self-interest also. Many people are giving, whether they realize it or not, to atone for their transgressions and to bring peace to their troubled hearts. As Solomon wrote long ago, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "There is nothing new under the sun." For centuries, indeed from Adam's fall, man has done this. He's given in order to get. And not simply favor, not simply a reward from a fellow human being, but rather favor and reward from God Himself. Man has tried to render all kinds of gifts to God, good works, meditations, contemplations, just good old-fashioned cash. Man has, for centuries, millennia, rendered goods and services with the hope of receiving in exchange peace and goodwill. You may remember this is what moved Martin Luther to write the 95 Theses, sparking the Lutheran Reformation. But at least the people back then felt guilty before God and tried to appease Him, as opposed to today when it seems that most people feel guilty before their children because they didn't get that trip to the amusement park. But again, the theology is the same. Give and we'll get. The newest electronics, the most fashionable clothes and shoes, the biggest toys, and maybe, just maybe, I'll get peace for my troubled conscience. Maybe, just maybe, my fears will be relieved. Well, no wonder the world's Christmas celebration is so impoverished. Do we really think that those things that can be bought in the store will bring any kind of justification or assurance? And even if they do, how long will that justification, that assurance, last? Even the most successful holiday, in which all of the food is cooked to perfection, all of the decorations are spot on, all of the presents are received with happiness and thankfulness, when everything runs like clockwork, even that kind of Christmas is over by tomorrow afternoon. And then what happens after that? What happens in a week, when you have to send your kids in front of the computer screen once more to log on to remote school? What happens when the active case numbers hold steady? Or maybe, God forbid it, begin to creep upward again? What happens when you just can't afford any more toys or clothes or electronics? For that matter, what about all those other Christmases that fall flat on their face and fail to meet expectations? What do you do about your guilt? What do you do about your fear then? Just how much do you think you can possibly give? But we have gathered here this evening, on this most holy night, for a different sort of celebration. A celebration that began for us at our Savior at noon, and that continues beyond tomorrow, for the next 12 days, in fact. A celebration that is hardly impoverished, but rather abundant. As we prayed, this most holy night shines with the brightness of the true light. Tonight is rich for us, rich with joy, rich with comfort, rich with forgiveness. Because for us Christians, Christmas is based not on what we have given, but rather on what God has given. A gift that atones for real guilt, a gift that calms real fear. This evening, we've left behind the wrapping paper and bows, the gift bags and tissue paper. We've left behind all that so easily distracts us to come to this holy house, to turn our ear to that good news of great joy, of the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And as we listen to that angelic announcement, we can see just how vast the difference truly is between God's gift and our own. Whereas a sense of one's own guilt moves men to give gifts, the kind of gifts that moth and rust can destroy or thieves can break in and steal, the knowledge of our own guilt has moved our great God and Savior Jesus Christ to give Himself. In the fullness of time, when Caesar Augustus ruled the Roman Empire and Quirinius governed Syria, at that time God the Father gave His only begotten Son to be born of the Virgin Mary in that little town of Bethlehem. Whereas men give more and more expensive gifts for their own sake, to soothe their consciences, to calm their fears, Christ Jesus gave Himself for us, to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession. The Christ child grew up. He lived perfectly under God's law, without sin, without blemish. And when His hour had come, the man Christ Jesus laid down His life freely for us as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Whereas men give for their own sake, to those who are closest to them, to those who they think will give something in return, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. The Son born of Mary, guarded by Joseph, was announced to lowly shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And He was announced as good news of great joy that would be for all the people. This good news is the gospel. It's the same word, in fact. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is the gospel, that God gave the perfect gift of his Son, not for his own sake, but for yours. Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father for us men and for our salvation. Unto you was born that day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. All that he did was for you. He lived a perfect life in fulfillment of the law in your place. He offered himself once and for all on the cross as the full payment for all of your sins as your substitute. He rose again from the grave on the third day for your justification. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father to hear your prayers, to intercede on your behalf, to help you in every time of need, even as he is now preparing a place for you, that where he is, you may be also someday. To be sure, if you think that your biggest problem tonight is a canceled birthday party or a skipped vacation, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger is probably not the good news you're looking for. But that's why the church has been preparing for this most holy night for the last 4 weeks. We have been getting ready for Christmas by going through the penitential and anticipatory season of Advent. Even as the world was getting ready for their celebration of Christmas, shopping, decorating, partying, and so forth, we in the church, we set aside our glorious, most of our singing, in fact. Our sins were brought to our remembrance through the preaching of God's law. We were reminded of those sins as we considered the figure of John the Baptist. Those sins are real sins, defined not by our feelings, but rather by what God has declared in his law. The season of Advent prepared us for this night by causing us to acknowledge the darkness, even the deep darkness of sin in which we all once walked. Darkness that leads nowhere but to the depths of hell. I pray that our Advent was spent wisely, that it was spent examining our lives, that it was spent considering our many sins by which we have offended God, and for which we have deserved nothing but God's punishment. But the Advent season was spent in repentance. But again, tonight, there is good news. Good news of great joy for all the people. If you have come here this night bearing the yoke of your sin, hear this good news. The people, you, who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them, on you, light has shone. God has given you his only begotten Son, Jesus, to give light to you who once sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide your feet into the way of peace. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Not by anything you have given, not by your works or efforts or thoughts or words, not by any money or possessions you could offer. Rather, this is all done for you by what God has given, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And what Christ has given, his perfect, blameless, sinless life, and his spotless death, his holy, precious blood, all for you. All by his grace alone. This is the good news of which the angels once sang. This is the good news that is proclaimed to you in this place. And this good news brings great joy. Great joy that fills our Christmas celebration here and as we go forth to our homes, to our neighborhoods, and into the world. The good news of great joy that God has given His Son for us freely, apart from any merit of our own, that our guilt might be taken away, that our fear might cease. For if we share in newness of life with Christ, if who is risen from the grave, who lives and reigns to all eternity, what is there left to fear in this world? The one who hopes in Christ will not be overcome with worry over those many things that we do not, indeed cannot, know or understand. For by faith we know that God knows them all. Furthermore, we know that God loves us. Therefore, fear not, as the angel said. Instead, let us live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. For what do we await? Not poverty, not loneliness, not disease, not death, but rather we await our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who again gave himself for us. At the risk of sounding cliche, Jesus is truly the greatest Christmas gift. For He is given unto you by grace alone, given for your sake, given to you even in this hour, as He comes to you in His holy word, which you hear, and in His body and blood with the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, which you will soon receive. God is a cheerful giver, and He gave not once, but rather He gives every time we hear the word. It is an ongoing gift, week after week, the gift of Jesus Christ in His means of grace. As He comes to you bringing all that He won for you on the cross, He wants you to receive this gift. He wants you to receive this gift often. When we do, when we receive Him in His word and sacrament rightly by faith, our joy is truly increased. We rejoice and we are glad, for the yoke of our burden, those sins which cling so closely and weigh us down, it has been broken by the child born for us, the Son given to us. Yes, for Christians, our guilt is satisfied. Our fears are calmed, not because of anything we've given, but because of the gift that we have received from God Himself, His Son Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again for us. Therefore, on this most holy night, and in the 12 days of our joyful Christmas celebration, and indeed all of our days, may God the Father grant us His Holy Spirit through His Word, that we might come to know and to believe the peace and the good pleasure which is ours for the sake of His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is given for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.